Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Amen. The storm of the king's judgment impends and erupts upon the horizon of human history. Its lightning can be seen, its thundering peals and roars can be seen and heard in the distance. Sons and daughters of the king, will you not open your eyes? Will you not open your ears? See and hear that the day of judgment is coming. It is not a fiction, it is real, it is not made up, it is the word of the Lord. And there is no escaping that day simply by ignoring it, simply by burying our heads in the sand. And when it comes, all of these things around us, everything that we know shall pass away, the moon, the sun, the stars, right? Not one Amazon, not one Temu package will be left under the tree that will last into eternity. The tree, the stars, the lights, even the nativity creche will not last. They will crumble. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, the holy prophet says, when the arrogant and the evildoers will all be stubble, leaving neither root nor branch. And every one of us will stand before the throne of the Lord of hosts, of Yahweh in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And before us will not be some whimpering, some milquetoast, many different faced God. It will not be Allah or some dumb great architect or supreme spirit. We will stand before the immensity of Christ the Lord, come in glory. That's what we are aiming towards. That is what is coming. Every one of us. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. And he is the God of the Holy Church and his bride. And there is none other but him, not one. He and his words will never, ever pass away. And so even now, especially now, as we feel the changing of the seasons and seeing signs in the sun and the moon and the stars all around us, the nations warring and raging and fomenting, we know the storm is coming. It is impending. And so be prepared. Be watchful. Be ready. That is the advice that Christ our Lord gives to us. Right? He says, watch yourself. Watch your thoughts. Watch how you behave. Watch how you conduct yourselves with not just the people that you love, but with whom? Your enemies. Right? Be ready and look to the east, for the Son of Righteousness, the man Jesus Christ, is coming. He is drawing near. And I'm one of those people that generally loves storms, right? Especially summer storms. Summer storms are just hands down. I'm like one of those weirdos that just loves storms. But you and I stand miserably helpless before any storm, right? Even the lamest winter storm, right? The wind and the waves, they outmatch us every single time. Even with all of our so-called advancement, with our, you know, our electronics, our radar, right? On our phones even, right? Still the storms rage, still the levees break, and rivers are going to flow wherever they want to, and we can do nothing about it. And from all of this, we need to be protected because we are weak and we are small. Clothing and shelter are necessary for us to survive. Like, if we're going to make it in this life, we need these things. We need to be protected. I mean, can you imagine, like, a pack of wolves gathered around a fire, trying to cook the elk that they just killed so they won't die from the bacteria that they get? No. They don't need to do that. What about an ape sewing fig leaves together to give himself, some extra clothing? No. Right? They don't need these things. We do. We do. We are completely helpless, right? And probably more than any other creature, even though we are arrogant and prideful and we think that we're not, probably more than any other creature, we need to be protected. Right? We need to be provided for. We must be. And all of our good work, all of our deeds, all of our righteousness, they are blown about like dust in the wind before the gathering storm of the coming Son of Man. Right? Our works are no match for the unbending might of God's law. Right? They are stubble, they are ash, they are nothing. They are maggot fodder, Luther would say. Against this coming storm, we stand exposed and we stand vulnerable. We stand naked before the Lord, laid bare before the King of creation. Our hearts darkened, our minds debased. Because we have nothing within ourselves for which to boast or to brag about. On our own, we are done and undone. Now, it's at this point that some smarter preachers might offer some amount of comfort. Maybe some shallow false words to deny the storm's coming. Because what some will do, and I've heard it, you probably have too, is to teach the law and to teach the reality of sin, but then remove their teeth. I just rip the teeth. We like to be dentists with sin and the law, right? People do that. Maybe now in this day and age, more than ever before, we like to do that. They would cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They would scratch our itching ears and tell us, don't worry, Christ can't be like that. Christ would never come in judgment. Christ is more like your kindly old grandfather. He wants everybody to just get along and be nice to one another and define each other by whatever your definition of love is. This is exactly what the rebellious ingrates thought about Noah's God before the flood. This is exactly what Lot's son-in-laws thought about the Lord before he consumed Sodom in hellfire. The world will not hear this because it considers itself what? Too sophisticated, too advanced to consider such things as this to be real. Too enlightened, I've heard, right? Too enlightened to hear and to heed the word of God. Especially modern day America, especially us, right? That is decadent in the true sense of that word. Right, which means, by the way, to decay, to be decaying. The word of the Lord endures forever and contains wisdom beyond the foolish wisdom of this world. It's the word of God that actually tells us what God is like. It's the Word of God that actually tells us who God is and who He is for us. Not Oprah, not the Koran, not Kanye or Ye or whatever he's called now, not Taylor Swift. And certainly not what it seems like He should be in our own sin-darkened hearts and minds. Only the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us without one doubt that He is coming. He is the King and He is coming for judgment. And it also tells us that men will be saved by no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other, only Him. There is no other way to the Father except the Son. And the path of destruction is wide and it is welcoming. And it is even easy, but the way of salvation is narrow and is difficult and looks like the cross. And most of the time, it's at complete and utter odds with this world. Just like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, where the world is actually trying to convince us Christians how to celebrate Christmas. But you sons of God, you daughters of God, you do not fear. You are given to cling to Jesus Christ. You are given to hold on to Him with the mighty hand of faith. And so you do not fear. What you do is you lift up your heads, the scripture says. The Son of Righteousness has arisen in Bethlehem and is gone to Jerusalem to secure even your salvation. He has come to you in this hour, in this age of grace, right now, in mercy. Veiled in mercy. Not in judgment. Not now. Now is the hour of salvation. Now is the hour and age of grace. And He does this, thanks be to God, not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, not because of what we have failed to do. He does it because of who He is and who we are to Him. That's why He does it. Because of who He is and who He was and who He will always be. Always be. He has flung wide the door and makes us to rise and to fall no more. He has made the grave to lose its ability to sting us. And so, my brothers and sisters, you repent of your sins and you rejoice because your salvation comes. Christ Himself is coming. And soon that great and dreadful day, it will be upon us. It will be here. Whether we experience in this life or we are raised in our bodies from the dead to experience it, every one of us will. The sheep and the goats, every one of us. And finally the Lord will relieve you not only from the chaos and the suffering of this world caused by the sins of others, but also from the shame and from the guilt of our own sins, right, that we have brought on ourselves, that we have brought on the people that we love. We will be released from. God, who does all things well, will make all things right. All things right. He will not abandon you, His son, His daughter. This present world, the world that we live every day, that we wake up to and go to bed to, that we experience, it is not all that there is. It is not the final. The judgment is coming, and it is coming swiftly. And you will stand before the immense glory of the King who you call brother. Brother, because he took the flesh of Saint Mary and became a man. And you will stand before him and you will not be broken. You will not be blown about by the wind. You shall stand in the storm of the coming judgment by the King of grace and by his mercy. Because you've been joined to him, Jesus Christ himself will be your shield, will be your armor, will be your fortress, your rock, and your protector. In him, the raging storm is the calm that blows beside the still waters that he leads you to because he loves you. And in the culmination of all things, there'll be no shame, there'll be no regret, right? Even though that's hard to believe right now, there'll be no sorrow. He is all in all. He will bring all things to their fulfillment and to their fruition and to their glory. I mean, think about that. Just think about it. Whatever you woke up to worried about this morning, whatever you were fearing when you go to bed tonight, whatever's tormenting you right now, it'll never bother you again. Ever. In the life of the age to come. And his works and his life and his death, his resurrection and his ascension, they will all stand in place, in your place, as your righteous, holy substitute. His works will become yours. Vicariously, they are yours. They are the shield that he holds up over you in the coming storm of the judgment. By God, get under this shield. If you are committing mortal sin right now, by God, stop it. Repent, recant, and return to the Lord, who loves you and longs for your repentance. Return to him who loves you. Grab a hold of Christ, and don't you ever let go of him. Be faithful to him, and work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Because I'm telling you, if you try to weather it on your own, if you try to ignore your sin, right, just push it off to the side, if you try to bury your hand in the head in the sand, if you try to do that, go it alone, you will die. Right, I'm just saying that as plainly and as straightforwardly as I know how to say it. You are inviting death if you do that. Now is the hour of salvation. Now. Now is the age of grace. But don't you forget, it shall be ended. It shall be ended. For the storm rages about on the horizon. Its lightning can be seen. Its thunder roars in the distance. The kingdom of God is at hand. Open your eyes and your ears. And see that the day is coming. And all these things around us shall pass away. But one thing will not. One thing will endure. One thing we are promised that will endure. And that is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will endure forever. Now, we talk about that a lot, right? It was a slogan of the Lutheran Reformation, right? The word of the Lord endures forever. You see VDMA, right? In several different places in the church. What that means is that the word of God in your baptism, right? What God has done, the word that he spoke in your baptism, the word of his absolution, the word of his last will and testament in the cup, these things will never pass away. Those promises that Christ makes to you in his word are as sure and solid as Christ himself. The word that spoke you into life, the life of the only Son of God in those waters in holy baptism. The word that gave you God's own name will never pass away. They stand for eternity. And so it will be that when you, beloved of the Lord, lift up your heads on that great and terrible day and look up to the Almighty Judge of all men, you will rejoice and you will be invaded with a love that you have never known. The fullness of that love will permeate throughout your being. Because this same judge is your redemption. And he is drawing near to you even now. Because he loves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.